ركعتين. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. I want to say that I've also enjoyed this week here, and I've been refreshed, and I've enjoyed all the fellowship with you. You know, we don't get a lot of chances to fellowship. And that's the one thing that we, as missionaries and other places, that's one thing we miss. You know, we miss the good fellowship that you have on here, you know, with all the different Christians coming in. When we're here, we just really do enjoy it. And we enjoy the meals that we've had with you. I want to thank all of you who provided meals for us. And tonight we'll be finishing up, and this next week coming up, I'll be headed back down to Mexico. But I just wanted to tell you, I thank you, everyone, for all your hospitality, and I've really enjoyed it. And I hope we've been a blessing to you too. Romans chapter 10, verse 1 says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Amen. You know, it's not difficult for me to recognize just how wise God is. Every time I look at creation or nature or read an article in the encyclopedia or in a Time magazine or anything else about God's creation and what He's done and just how wise and deep and full His creation is, I am just filled with an appreciation for His wisdom, for His intelligence. But you know something? I tell you, there's something even deeper than all that you can find in nature, and that's the truths, the doctrines that you find in the Bible. They are just tremendous. It is an amazing thing. The fact is, most people don't understand the Bible. Most people never get more than skin deep in the Bible and never understand the tremendous truths that are found, especially in the Gospel. Especially when you read the epistles of Paul, when you find out the depth of God's love and just how much He's done for us and what the principles are of this love. It's a tremendous thing. Most people never get past religion. You know what God said here, what Paul said here, through the Spirit of God, he said he knew about Israel. He knew about these Jews. He knew that they had a zeal for God. They were religious. And I'll tell you something else. They had the right religion. They didn't have the wrong religion. They didn't have the false religion. They had the only religion God ever set down on this earth. The only one, that's the Old Testament. They had it, and they believed it, and they were following it. But he said they weren't saved. They had religion, but they weren't saved. And isn't that an amazing thing? You know what? A lot of people think that the problem with the world is that there's just not enough religion. Yeah. That, you know, that there's just not enough religion. I heard a guy on the radio the other day say, you know what the problem with this country is that we took God out of the schools. And that there's just not enough faith in the country today. Well, you know, that's not what I see. What I see is that the whole country is religious. The whole world is religious. Just about everybody is religious. You know something? I've been reading several books about science, and these books have been detailing all the different conflicts between science and religion. And it's an amazing thing just how bigoted and intolerant religious people became or have become. It's an amazing thing that religion has been against truth for so many years, actually hindered the truth. Actually, not only hinder the truth, but have been a danger to anybody who espoused the truth. And I'm talking about just about there's one fellow named Bruno who had read up on Copernicus, and he had come up with some conclusions. And when they found out about it, they said, "This is not true. This can't be right," because it went against their idea what the Bible had to say. They misunderstood the Bible, and because they were so intolerantly religious, they burned him at the stake. Stuffed his mouth with a gag, tied him up, and set him afire. Why? Because they were religious. Their love wasn't of truth. Their love was of religion. They had a zeal, and it was a zeal for God, but it was not according to knowledge. You know who the biggest enemies of the truth are? It's religious people. Religious people are the biggest enemies of truth. I'm telling you, we don't need more religious people in the world. We need more people sold out for truth. Yeah. Somebody that has a desire for truth, that's one thing. A religious person is a whole different thing. Take these Jews, for example. These Jews had their own religion, and they thought that their religion was more important to defend than truth. Simple, outright truth. Just what was taught this morning. But a tremendous thing. The fact that these people could actually be nitpicky about whether Jesus Christ was obeying the Sabbath or not. There was not a law anywhere in the Old Testament that said a man could not pick enough corn to eat. In fact, there's one place over there in Exodus chapter 12 that says he could pick what he could eat himself. It's an amazing thing that how they could take the law and abuse it, and all they were trying to do was defend their own religion. You know how much wicked and evil goes on just trying to defend your religion? People think they're serving God, and what they're doing is serving the devil or serving their own interests. You know how much greed is in religion? It's an amazing thing. You know why there's so many pharmacies? You know why there are so many pharmacies? Because you can make money having a pharmacy. That's the truth. You know why there's so many religions? Because there's a lot of money in it. Right. If there was no money in it, there wouldn't be that many. There'd be very little. The fact is, religious people are known for their greed. They're known for their covetousness. They're known for their hypocrisy. You know what Jesus had a problem with when he came? Was the outright hypocrisy of religious people. Hypocrisy. Pretending to be something that they're not. More worried about their appearance than being true, or knowing the truth, or teaching, or doing any good at all. Religion, the Bible talks about religion in a pure state, over there in chapter 1, it says that religion, when it's pure and undefiled before God, is to help the needy and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. In other words, keep yourself clean, keep yourself pure, and help those that are in need. That's pure religion. But you know what that tells me? That a lot of religion isn't pure. That tells me also a lot of religion is defiled before God. Just because you're religious, or because you know somebody who's religious, or because you come from a religious background, that doesn't mean anything. The fact is, that might be your undoing. You might lose your soul because of your religion. These people were religious, but not saved. Religious, but not saved. I ask you, exactly why is it that you go to church on Sunday morning? Or why is it that you came this morning? I don't know. Why is it that most people go to church on Sunday morning? Is it truly out of a humble, pure religion, a desire to worship God and to better themselves? Or is it just because of a sense of religion that they have, that they have to fulfill this religious duty? Because there is a serious difference between these two things. Notice that religion degenerates into a presumption of merit before God. These people tried to establish their own righteousness. They were not satisfied with the righteousness that God has declared in the Bible. How many people do you know who are interested in their religion, but not interested in the Bible? Not interested in what the Bible actually says. They're interested in their religion, and they'll defend their religion. I have seen people willing to defend their religion to the death, but can't show one verse of Scripture to base what they're doing on. Not one verse of Scripture. They're not defending the Bible. They're not following God's Word. They're simply defending their religion. I want to tell you this morning that the fundamentals of religion, what you know of as religion, the fundamentals of religion, this presumption of merit, is wrong in every case. It's wrong in every case. There is no merit of men before God. And merit cannot be achieved. Have you ever stopped to think about what religious people think gives them merit? Makes them deserve salvation, or deserve heaven, or deserve to be around God? This idea that we can deserve salvation, it's an amazing thing. People think that they can deserve salvation by doing good things, or by small accomplishments. Accomplishments. Keeping some commandments. If you keep some commandments, you think, you know, you're gathering up points. The idea that if you get up enough points, that you'll deserve heaven. First of all, this is wrong. Several reasons why this is wrong. Number one, Jesus said, if you do all that is commanded you, you're still unprofitable. He said that in Luke 17. If you do everything that's commanded you to do, you're still unprofitable. Not even that is merit. If you do everything. But you know, most people don't do everything they're commanded to do. They do one or two things they're commanded to do, and then they get real proud of those one or two things. Isn't that an amazing thing? Somebody would be real proud that they don't commit adultery when they break every other commandment. It's an amazing thing. Your achievements, your accomplishments are incomplete. They cannot give you merit, first of all, because they're not complete. But if they were complete, it still would not be merit. It's just like somebody thinking that because he does the right thing, he has some dessert. You know, one time I was at Best Products, and I was looking at some cameras that I wanted to buy, and there was one camera there, it was like for $150, and another one there for about $350, and you know, I just couldn't afford that $350 camera. That was an expensive and a nice camera, so I just went ahead and reluctantly bought the inexpensive camera for $150. I bought it, and they packaged it and set it in there, and I just drove home with it. I got home with it, opened it up, and it was the $350 camera they had packaged in there. Wow, you know. I wasn't tempted even for a second, you know, to keep it, of course. I mean, it was their fault, right? No, you know, I was a little bit irritated that I had to drive back all the way over there, so I drove it all the way back over there, and I said, hey, listen, you guys gave me the wrong camera. But he said, oh, yeah, we sure did, and went and changed it out. Never a thank you. Never, oh, go ahead and keep it, which is what I was hoping, you know. Now, why should I think that I deserve a thank you for doing the right thing? It wasn't my camera. I didn't pay for that camera. It was a simple mistake. And yet, in our minds, we think we deserve something for that, don't we? Shouldn't he give me a reward? Shouldn't I have gotten something out of that? No. No, don't you understand? Doing your duty gives you no merit. It's just your duty. It's what you owe. It's like paying a debt. It's like paying your rent. Whatever it is, there is no merit in your little achievements that you do. There's no dessert for God. You can't say, God, you owe me heaven because I complete these things or I fulfill one or two commandments. Another thing religious people think is merit before God that makes them deserve heaven is suffering. It's an amazing thing how some people believe that if they will suffer, that they will get to heaven. You know, some people think that if they crawl on their knees a certain distance, that gives them more merit with God. I know you don't think that because I don't see anyone in here with torn up knee, you know, knees. But I don't really know. Maybe somebody in here does actually think that the more you suffer, the more merit you have with God. But that's not true. You could suffer all your life. In fact, most of the suffering you do is a consequence of your sin. Most of the suffering that you actually do that's involuntary, but if you voluntarily suffered, that would not give you any merit before God. God never says it does. Another thing that people have in their mind is to give them merit before God is good intentions. Honestly think that if you've got good intentions, that counts for something. You know, the honest truth is that's not true. It's not true that if you are trying to obey the law, that's the same thing as obeying the law. It's not true that God will give you some type of merit or that you'll have some type of way to say, Lord, you owe me something if you just have good intentions. In fact, good intentions are usually hypocritical. The Bible says the heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. You shouldn't trust the heart. You shouldn't trust your own heart. It says you can't know your intentions. You have no way of knowing your intentions. In fact, the reason why you sin is because you intend to sin. Your intentions are bad. That's why you sin. You know, another thing people think is a merit before God, especially religious people, have the idea that this is some dessert before God, that you're going to deserve something from God, is they think that if you are loyal to your religion, loyal to what your parents taught you. I've talked to, I don't know how many people, who think that all you have to do is be faithful in the religion you were born, and that faithfulness to that religion will get you to heaven. That's not true either. Loyalty does not get you to heaven. Now, here's a good one. Some people think that repentance is merit. That if you're really sorry, that's merit. You know how many people that I have talked to say that the thief on the cross deserved heaven because he repented? Well, I want you to know something. Repentance is no merit whatsoever. You do not deserve anything just because you're sorry you did it. Now, I know nowadays that if you go to in front of a judge and you say, you know, I'm sorry, well, he's likely to give you a less of a sentence. They're looking for somebody to say, you know, I'm sorry, I really am sorry about what I did. But, you know, if you're a parent and you had a child that was constantly saying, I'm sorry, but still doing the same thing, you'd obviously know that's not true. You'd obviously get tired of it. I know, even the Bible says, Jeremiah chapter 2 says, a thief when he is found is ashamed. Even Judas Iscariot repented. Do you know that God doesn't always give you a chance to repent? God does not always give you an opportunity to repent. Just because you're sorry is no merit before God. You cannot deserve anything from God just because you're sorry you did it. You ought to be sorry. And I'll tell you what, you try to come to God without being sorry, and He'll kick you out on your tail. He won't hear you. He won't listen to you. He demands that you repent, and repentance is a good thing, but it's no merit, not before God. There's another thing. Some people think that faith is merit. Some people think that if you just believe enough, well, you know, then you're going to deserve heaven. Somehow you're going to get there because you just believe enough. But let me tell you something else. I'll tell you, I have found that religious people have an awful lot of faith. But there's some severe problems with faith. Just plain outright religious faith is not enough not to make you deserve heaven. It won't save you just because you got faith. I mean, all those Hindus and all those Muslims and all those animists, they all got faith. They all have faith. Faith is not enough. The Bible says the devils believe. The devils believe. So you got faith. You got a lot of faith. Yeah, you know, there's a whole lot of things that you ought to stop and think about. One thing, James says that faith without works is dead. There's a lot of faith that makes absolutely no difference in people's lives. They say, oh yeah, I believe. But how has that changed their life? I'm not talking about works of the law. But if you have faith, something's going to change in your life. Is this true or not? Yes, of course, if you've got faith, I mean, you have to have some, if the faith is real, then it would obviously change something in your life. But a lot of people think that they have faith and think that faith gives them some rights before God. Well, I have faith. I have lots of faith. I don't know how many times I've talked to somebody and said, I have lots of faith. But faith is no merit, not before God. Faith is incomplete. A lot of people have faith, but not in Jesus only. Have faith, but not in the gospel only. Have faith, but they're not trusting in Christ's blood to save their souls. They got faith, but it's an incomplete faith. But you know something, what it says right here in Romans chapter 10, it says these people were ignorant. They had a faith, but it was an ignorant faith. The Bible says religious people are ignorant. They think that they deserve God. In fact, they think that everybody in order to get to God has to deserve heaven. They have to deserve it. Nobody can be forgiven without deserving it. This is a common misunderstanding of religious people. Think that you have to deserve heaven. You're not going to get there unless you deserve it. And then they come up with all these silly things that they think might make them deserve it, which is not true. And the whole reason why is they're ignorant. They're ignorant of these few things that I'm going to mention to you right now. First of all, look at Romans chapter 2, verse 12. The first thing that you'll find religious people are ignorant of, they're ignorant of the law. All religion tells you you've got to deserve, you've got to do good, you've got to keep the law, you've got to keep the commandments, you've got to deserve heaven, you've got to deserve forgiveness, you've got to do well and work hard and try. And if you do all this, they say that this will save you, this is what religion is. But all those who have a religion or are living by a religion or think they can get to heaven through their religion, they are ignorant of God's law. He says in Romans chapter 2, verse 12, for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Now don't you think that somebody who is religious, whether it's Roman Catholic or Muslim or Hindu or Buddhist or whatever it is, whatever religion it is, someone who is religious and who believes that he has to keep the law in order to be saved, wouldn't you think that they would know the law? That they would study the law? That they would be truly zealous of the law? But you'll find that religious people who insist that you have to keep the law to be saved don't even know God's law. I had a Seventh-day Adventist come to my place one time, and we were talking, and he was insisting that we had to keep the Sabbath day in order to be saved. You had to keep the Sabbath day in order to be saved. In fact, if you kept the Sunday, if you met on Sunday, you were taking the mark of the beast. This is what he told me. But whatever, you know, he had his reasons and what have you. But I just asked him, what do you mean keep the Sabbath day? Keeping the Sabbath day isn't just meeting on Saturday. Keeping the Sabbath day is what the law says over there in the Old Testament. Keeping the Sabbath day, you can't even light a fire on Sabbath day. That's what the Bible says, keeping the Sabbath day. They say that you have to do this in order to get saved or to be saved or to deserve God, whatever, in order to get into heaven. You've got to keep these laws, and yet they're ignorant of the laws themselves. Don't even read them. Don't even understand them. Look at Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Religious people are ignorant of their own sin. Look what it says here. And when he was gone forth into the way, this is Mark 10, 17, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. That is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Isn't this an amazing thing? That this man came up wanting eternal life, and the Lord says, Well, do the commandments. If you do the commandments, you'll have eternal life. I'll make sure of it. If you just do them. But you know something? He was so ignorant of his own sin that he actually thought that he had observed all of these commandments from the time he was very young. You know something? The law is much more than just some outward observance or outward completion. The law has to do with the entire self. Your mind has to keep the law. It's talking about an entire thing. This man obviously was ignorant of the law. And he was ignorant of his own sins. It's an amazing thing. I had some Jehovah's Witness ladies come to me one time. I was in Irapuato, and we were getting ready to go out and preach, and they knocked on the door, and so they were sort of hindering us. And, well, we invited them on in. We talked to them for a while. I told them, I said, you know, I have a real problem with what you're telling me, because they were telling me you had to be good and you had to do these things. And I said, because I'm a real sinner. I said, and sin is all the way inside me. And I can't stop sinning. Even when I try, I can't stop sinning. My mind sins, even when I don't want to. I am just desperately wicked. And they said, you know, you need to have a little bit more hope. You're not so bad. You need to try a little harder. I said, you know, I have tried. I've tried, and I'm desperately wicked. How can I be saved if I'm desperately wicked? What if I can't do the good things that you're telling me I need to do? What do I have to do in order to be saved? And they said, well, you know, you can try. You can try harder. I'm telling you, you can stop sinning. And so then it dawned upon me what these ladies were telling me. I said, well, have you all stopped sinning? Yes, they said. They stopped sinning. I said, ma'am, how long has it been since you sinned? She said, I haven't sinned in 20 years. She told me that to my face. I said, you never even told a white lie? You never even lied on the telephone, said you're not here or whatever, or that somebody's not here? You never did anything wrong? No, never a bad thought, never angry, never, no. For 20 years, she had her daughter right there with her. She was probably 40 years old, but she had her daughter right there with her, maybe 18 years old. And I said, what about you? She said, no, I don't sin either. How long has it been since you sinned? She said, been 12 years. What a tremendous ignorance that somebody could actually think that they have not sinned in 20 years. You know what? Everybody makes me understand that they are ignorant of their own wickedness. The depravity of themselves. How deep is their sin? How wicked in the inside? Their heart has fooled them. They're ignorant of their own sin. Give themselves the benefit of every doubt. You know, there's another thing. People who are religious and think to deserve heaven, think to earn their way to heaven, they are ignorant. They're not only ignorant of all these things that we've already mentioned, they are ignorant of the scope of their condemnation. Did you know that this condemnation is not just simple, that God's waiting until the very end to find out whether you're condemned or not? The Bible says you're already condemned. He says you're already condemned. Condemnation is so complete, it goes it all the way from the end. You're not only condemned for your sins. And you do commit a lot of sins. Outward and inward. You commit both kinds. You commit them right there in the heart, but you also commit them right out in front of everybody. We commit sins all the time. And that's enough to condemn you. Just the sins that you've committed. And everyone in here has committed enough sins that they ought to condemn themselves and know that they deserve hell and deserve to be destroyed. Of course you should. But you know something? You're not just condemned by your sins. You're condemned by your associations. You're condemned by the kind of people you run around with. Even the Bible says that. You know something else? You're condemned by your own judgments. You know how many times you condemn somebody else for doing something you also do? God says He's going to condemn you by your words. Just the fact that you judge somebody else harshly, you're going to be turned around and judged harshly because God insists on judging you by your own words. The judgment that you judge with, you'll be judged with. You're not only condemned by your own judgment, you're condemned by your unbelief. The basic unbelief in your heart, you're condemned by. But let me tell you even more than that. You were condemned before you were born. You say, that doesn't seem half fair. No, it's fair. It's absolutely fair, in fact. The Bible says you were condemned before you were born. You were condemned by your father. You were condemned the day God condemned Adam. The Bible says everyone became sinners on that day. Can you imagine people honestly thinking that they can deserve heaven when God says they were condemned before they committed their first sin? You say, well, that's not fair. Well, listen, you've sinned plenty. There's plenty of other condemnations. Even if that was not true, you'd still be condemned. Everything you've done has condemned you. And the fact is, you are your son. You are the son of your father. You do have his nature. You would have done the same thing, and you have done the same thing. You're condemned. And you're ignorant of the scope of your condemnation if you think you can deserve or earn eternal life. But you know, there's something else. Religious people are ignorant of salvation. They're ignorant, first of all, of the meaning of the word. Salvation. Salvation is not that God is trying to get you to do better. It's like a man who's drowning. A man who's drowning does not know how to swim. It's not that the lifeguard jumps in the water and says, now listen, you're doing everything all wrong. You need to put this hand out first and then, no, get your feet up like that. And the man's drowning. He doesn't know how to swim. A lifeguard never jumps in the water to teach people how to swim. A lifeguard jumps in the water to get them out of the water and save their life. Do you not understand what salvation means? The fact is, God doesn't want to make you better. He wants to save your soul. You could never get to that point. God's not trying to make you better. He's trying to save your soul. Ignorant of salvation. Ignorant of the fact that all the way from the beginning to the end of the Bible, and from the beginning of history to the end of history, the only people that get to heaven are saved people. Not good people, not better people than somebody else, not religious people, saved people. The Bible says Jesus came in the world to save sinners. Just like people who are whole don't need a physician, but they that are sick, right? He came to call the sinners to repentance. He came to save sinners, to seek and to save that which was lost. You don't need to be better. You need to be saved. Look at Romans chapter 3 and verse 19. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. You know, another thing that religious people are ignorant of, they're ignorant of God's purpose. Everything God did and the way he did it for what, this is one of the main important purposes in his mind, was that every mouth would be stopped. He's tired of all the boasting going on in the world. He's tired of people talking about how much they've done or all the pride that's going on in the world. He wants every mouth to be stopped. And religious people are ignorant of that. Look at verse 27 in the same verse, in the same chapter. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. Nobody can say that they're saved because of something they did, because God hates the boasting. One of the main purposes of God doing it this way was to keep your mouth shut, so you would be able to say that I had nothing to do with it. It was God that did it, and be able to praise His grace. The fact is, God has done this with this purpose, and religious people overlook His purpose. You know something? If you got saved because you were more religious than somebody else, you would boast. You'd get up into heaven and you'd say, I'm boasting. Or you'd say, I'm better than somebody else. But you can't get there because you're better than somebody else. God hates that boasting, and He set it up so that nobody would be able to boast. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. The sixth thing religious people are ignorant of. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. They're ignorant of God's love and ignorant of God's mercy. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You know what the desire of God is to show the exceeding riches of his grace. The desire of God is not only that you would not be able to boast, but that you would have something to praise God for all eternity. This is the thing that people cannot understand. Religious people, and there are religions all over the world, but religious people cannot understand that if it were by merits, if it were by something that you deserve, that then not only would you boast, but you'd have nothing to thank God for. You'd have no reason because you deserved it. It was something you deserved. But I tell you, you don't deserve it and you can't deserve it. And the reason why God has decided to save you by grace is because of his great mercy and love, and he wanted you to know about it. He wanted you to praise his mercy throughout all eternity. You know, I talk to religious people all the time and try to explain to them that it's not by works, it's not by doing these things, it's not by suffering, it's not by fulfilling certain little commands, it's not by religious works. And you know what they can't understand? Well, that would not be fair for somebody to try so hard all his life and then not be saved, and somebody else doesn't do anything and winds up being saved. That's just not fair. You know what they don't understand? They just don't understand God's mercy. They don't understand God's love. They don't understand how God could love someone who is a sinner. People are so ignorant of God's love and his mercy. The fact that Jesus Christ would come and shed his blood on the cross of Calvary and be buried, and not only be buried, but be buried to be killed as if he was a murderer or a thief, and be killed in between two thieves. The fact that he would put up with all of that and then be buried and rise again. And all of this was because he loved. Not because he wanted to teach us an example or show us some better way, but because he loved. That he loved sinners. People can't understand that. Oh yeah, they say that was love, but they don't understand it. It was love of sinners. Jesus Christ died to save sinners, and salvation is not by works, it's not by merits, it's not by religion, it's by the great love that he showed us. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Religious people are ignorant. They are ignorant of almost everything that God has written down in the gospel. Ignorant of the gospel all the way down. It's not that we need more religion, people. What we need is for people to get saved. You don't need to be religious. You need to get saved. Now, I don't know how you stand right now. I don't know if you are saved. There's a lot of people here I don't even know. But whether you have been religious all your life, whatever, you need to examine yourself and find out if you're in the faith. The Bible says you need to examine yourself and see whether you be in the faith. Have you believed and trusted on the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved? Or are you expecting that the fact that you go to church, or that you are faithful, or you're just being a religious person like your parents taught you to be, is this all that you have? Or have you made the decision yet to come to God as an unworthy sinner and ask him to save your soul out of pure mercy and grace? You need to be saved. Let's bow your heads. There's somebody in this room who wants to be saved, is not saved and knows he's not saved, but wants to be saved. You can be saved today. You don't have to wait. You don't have to think that you have to deserve it. You don't have to improve your life before you can ask God to save you and forgive you of your sins. God wants to save you, and he will not have it any other way. He will not have it so that you can boast and be better. He's not trying to improve you. He's trying to save you. Whether you're young or whether you're old, you can be saved even today. You do not have to wait, not till tomorrow, not even till you've overcome some sin of yours. You can be saved today without any merits whatsoever, because God wants to save out of pure grace. Not by works, he wants to save you out of pure grace. If you want to be saved, I'll ask you to raise your hand right now. Raise your hand if you want to be saved. Today you want to learn how to be saved. We'll talk to you. We'll do whatever we can. And we're going to pray for you right now. If you want to be saved, raise your hand. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. Thank you for your wonderful gospel and the mercy that you showed us. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross to save sinners. Lord, I ask you to save any soul here that's not saved this morning. I ask you to touch them and make them understand the wonders of your gospel, the wonders of your grace. Lord, I ask you to bless every Christian here that understand the wonders of your grace and to praise it. Lord, I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand and sing number 249. This altar is open, my Christian friend. If God's spoken to your heart, you need to do business with God, you come. If you're here without Jesus, if you're here not saved, would you come and accept Him as your Lord and Savior? There is salvation. It is in Christ Jesus. You can have it today if you believe Him and trust Him. Would you ask Him for it today? Let's sing it out.